It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Welcome into the shed.
And we've decided it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah.
Although I'm drinking water.
And I will be drinking water as well.
Yeah.
I don't drink as much alcohol as I once did, I must say. Maybe that's like my body getting different as I get older. I don't know. I feel like a lot of older people still drink a lot. I don't know. It might be tied to cycling. Like I feel like I just had much more of a thirst for alcohol when I was doing tons of miles on my bike.
And it's like another way to get sugar.
Yeah, partly.
Or yeah. It's just the culture.
Things change.
Yeah, we were just talking about how you used to fiddle with your bike a lot, and now you're dialing in your backyard.
Yeah, my backyard's my new bike. Oh, gosh.
I'm just wondering, what your 60s will hold.
Oh, my gosh. What thing will I be fiddling with? I don't know. That is hard to say at this point. Maybe my wheelchair or something.
Oh, no.
I'm just going downhill fast. I'm just feeling so physically not great these days.
Is it time for new knees or hips?
Yes.
New knees.
Yay, let's do it.
My mom got one of those. She was like, this is awesome. Can I make a complaint?
Of course. Please do.
So many people in Portland, I think, that live in North or Northeast Portland take Tillamook in between Williams and MLK. And somebody, there was some like sewage project there and they repaved this big chunk and it's awful. And it seems like it's a permanent fix.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know more about this?
When's the last time you wrote it?
Yesterday afternoon.
And you still found it awful.
Yeah. It's very bumpy. It's very wavy.
I know what you mean. I that's the way I go every week to Bike Happy Hour and other stuff. Obviously main vein. I haven't looked into it. I've had one person email me who was super concerned, and then I'd ridden it and I was like, oh yeah, this is terrible. And it's such a pet peeve when they do work on the street and it makes it so much worse for biking because you just feel like, I don't know, do you feel like that where how come no one say anything about this? But then I also feel like it's just a few bumps.
It's also
big a deal?
Shouldn't the people do
no harm.
Cause it's kind of like the developers doing the work. Like they should make it better than they found it.
You'd think. Yeah.
Or at least do no harm. Yeah.
But I haven't heard. So it was really terrible. And I was kind of building up in my head, like I'm going to probably do something and blast something about this. Mm-hmm. And then they went back. They recently cleaned it up. They put
some tar on the edges or whatever on the edges. It looks, which is why, because I was also holding my breath a little bit, like maybe this will be better. Maybe this is just underlayment. But riding it yesterday, it seemed like this was the completed project.
Note taken. I'll have to look into that. The Northeast Tillamook right before MLK. Yeah, big sewage project. And it's like that whole block face from Rodney.
At least a block, I would say.
Yeah, it's almost like all the way from Rodney to MLK. So yeah, and it's right in like the prime bike line, right? Right in the Sharrow zone. I think it actually bisects like a Sharrow.
It's in the Sharrow zone.
In the Sharrow zone.
It really is. I mean, it's basically, it feels like a path where bikes would ride.
Yeah. Yeah, that's annoying. It's like the opposite of Northwest. What is it? Johnson.
One of those streets. Flanders?
Marshall. Flanders. Marshall. No, not Flanders. Marshall? How do I not know this?
Where they did like a little strip of pavement on cobbles.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, the one right off Lovejoy. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be JK.
Adjacent to an L.
L. M. It's got to be Marshall. It is.
We can do our alphabet.
Yeah. Anyway, that one's really cool. It's smooth, specifically in the pavers. I don't know the history of that. That'd be a fun little...
I think that's great.
It'd be a fun little video to do. See, I'm always thinking in terms of fun little videos now.
Okay. Next fun video.
What's a fun video about? Why is that... How did that little smooth bike lane on Marshall happen?
How long ago would you say that happened?
It's probably 20 years old.
Yeah.
I think it was here before I got here. Anyway, have to check it out.
With some of the Pearl redevelopment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. Because it's, it probably came with a lot of the buildings and high rises that are there, which are probably about 25 or so years old.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you know anything about that, let me know. Let's get to the bottom of it.
And make a fun video. Do you make not fun videos?
Yes.
What was your most recent not fun video?
Not fun video. Well, I mean, I guess how do you define fun?
City council meeting.
I thought that was really fun.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, like I said, how do you define fun? I actually love picking apart.
Do you watch every city council video?
No.
Or broadcast.
No. I watch as many of the meetings as I possibly can that are within my sphere of influence, which unfortunately I've made pretty large in terms of like wanting to cover a bunch of different things over the years. So that's difficult to keep track of all these meetings. And the phenomenon that's happened over the years is that because city staff and agency staff, they don't have as good access to people like me, to media, just because that's the way comms departments have gone. They've basically told all their staff, don't talk to the media. So now the only place to really hear like candid, detailed information from really smart staffers is in meetings, right? When they're talking to neighborhood groups or they're talking to council, that's where all the good details are. So for me, that's the kind of stuff I need. And you can't get that if you ask the comms people, right? They're not going to give you that kind of detail. Anyway, they are just treasure troves of information and story fodder for Bike Portland. So I try to listen to a lot of them, and most of my stories come from that. And so, yeah, I totally geek out about how to capture those in an efficient way as basically like a solo news person trying to process a lot of information. And I'm like, yeah, excitedly, I've figured out a pretty good way recently using the wonders of YouTube and my transcription service and QuickTime and this other device called Loopback, which allows me to basically mess with all the audio sources on my computer. So the trick for me was wanting to record the videos, right? Whether they're on Zoom or YouTube or whatever, I needed to record the audio so I could get transcripts because I need to have the text.
Oh, sure.
But I can't do that and listen to it at the same time because I can't multitask like that. It needs to be quiet for me to think and write. So, you know, if there's like a 2-hour meeting or whatever, I can't just record that. It's just a pain. So now I figured out a way to capture the audio without any sound coming out. And it goes right into a QuickTime file. And then I drag that into my transcription. And then in Amazing. Pretty quick nature, I've got full transcripts of any meeting I want, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I can Alt F and find keywords and pull stuff out. And it's really cool. It's really exciting for me.
You're like three people now.
The news geek thing. Yeah, it's really cool. I love it. I'm working on some fun videos doing that. Like this very emotional meeting about the Rose Quarter, I-5 Rose Quarter project that no one watched, but is super interesting. And I'll be able to pull out audio from that and maybe do a little bit of commentary and make a little podcast episode. So that's the kind of stuff that gets me. Somebody was interviewing me yesterday, like a PSU student, about something they're working on. And they actually asked me, what are your two favorite parts of your job? And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't really, that's such a hard thing to answer.
Yeah.
It was a harder thing than I thought to answer, but I actually admitted that geeking out about how to do my job efficiently is one of the things I really like right now.
Yeah.
You know, finding the tools to do good work efficiently is my thing. That's what I'm all about.
That's great. I think that's important, especially if you're working alone. If you want to be covering everything, if you want to go to every meeting.
I know, right?
Or almost every meeting. Did you go to the PSEF meeting last night?
I've been listening to it all morning. I wasn't there live, but when I saw that Mayor Wheeler popped in from a car seat, I was instantly like, oh, I'm listening to this. It's going to be good.
From the driver's seat?
No. See, I don't think he was driving. If he was, he was stopped. So it wasn't that kind of thing. But yeah, that was interesting to hear him being so... I mean, I just did a story. I don't know if you saw it, but it went up just an hour or so ago. Kind of about that, incorporating some of that stuff and how grateful a Wheeler was for the money from the Clean Energy Fund. It literally saved, I mean, it didn't save his political career because he's been working on that for the last, you know, year or so. But this is his last budget. Mm-hmm. It could have been a really ugly budget with a lot of cuts to important stuff. Without PSEF, without that money coming from the Clean Energy Fund, it would have been really, really bad. And it was just like this gift. And they managed to funnel some of that money into city projects, I think to the tune of $600 million. That's more than the budget of PBOT, actually. That's the entire budget of PBOT this year was $560 million. And so, yeah, so far they've approved $600 million worth of money from the Clean Energy Fund for city projects. That's pretty wild. So anyway, Wheeler popped into the committee meeting, the committee that oversees PSEF. They had their meeting last night, and he was just like, I want you all to know this is not me as mayor. This is me personally as Ted. Thank you so much. He literally said that. I was cracking up.
This is me as Ted.
Yeah, I thought that was cute. He says, I would love to bake you a cake or something, anything I can do. I'm so grateful for your work. And I'm like, yeah, you are. You son of a gun. Like, they saved your bacon, literally. Anyway, I think all that stuff is really interesting.
What was your other thing?
What have you... What was the other thing?
But what
I said buy caviar.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yeah, that's kind of giving me life, as you know. I talk about it every episode. But anyway, yeah. How about you?
Moving on.
What did you do this past week that was fun? Mm. Did you go
Well, before coming over, I vacuumed the house and hung out the laundry.
Stop it. Come on.
Yesterday, I repainted the flue pipe to my wood stove.
It's you know, like retired you live life on the is so fucking frontier weird. Or something, yeah, you know?
I do live on the frontier of North Portland.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I've been gardening a lot. Last weekend we went to Seattle, saw some friends, went to a book festival.
Cool.
It was very cute. There were tons of people. I think some people were a little like, so many people in a room.
Mm. You know? Really? You still get that vibe?
Oh, yeah. People were. It was a lot.
So like a crowd.
I like crowds, but I still also, I sort of understand that, like that stuffy air feeling.
Mm-hmm. The germ filled air feeling.
Yeah, of course.
Will always and stick you're like, with us. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, is anything going to ever come back? Are we going to be all masking up again eventually? Who knows?
I don't know. I'm flying to California tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah.
Do you mask up when you fly?
Not always. Mm. It's sort of a weird thing, like how I buy organic produce.
Like what, just hit or miss? Like,
yeah, it's just sort of like, today I'm going to buy organic produce.
Hey, to each their own.
Yeah.
Why are you flying to California?
To visit Maria and Tim.
Fun.
Old friends who moved there, and we miss them. They used to be our neighbors here.
Oh, nice. I saw you at the, did I see you at the Sandy Boulevard open house thingy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the future Sandy.
Were you there?
Did you see the future of Sandy?
What do you mean you saw me?
Eva,
you weren't there.
This is my job. When there are photos posted of things, I look at them. I zoom like, into who's there.
Whose braid is that?
I must know every aspect of who's where and what's happening. That's what I
love how eager the students are. They're so receptive. And like you say something that maybe has a tiny bit of weight. And they're like, ooh.
Writing it down.
And they write it down. Yeah.
I love that. So do you think how optimistic are you that there will be a serious plan to put protected bike lanes on Sandy Boulevard in a couple of years?
I have no optimism.
Really?
But I would love it. It would be great. I mean, honestly, connecting up with 12th and Cooch would be really great. Mm. Like I think
right.
Working that way, it kind of makes sense. Working backwards almost.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking right now as Eva Fraser and not as...
as Bike Loud.
As Bike Loud. Kyle would like, be disappointed in your response.
What is wrong
Come
with
on.
You? Why are you talking like this? I would love to have bike lanes. They had a bunch of different concepts where either it was like a road diet where they had rose lanes and bike lanes or rose lanes that were also for bikes.
They showed those concepts there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, I should. That's why I
should have been there. And then they were asking for feedback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think conceptually, like getting rid of parking and putting in bike lanes is probably the easiest and most straightforward way to do it. We talked a little bit about bus frequency and like the buses that take that route, and I don't know how slowed down they are by car traffic.
Mm.
I wanted a lot of data that they didn't necessarily have.
Interesting.
Because I get very nerdy about like numbers and.
Yeah. Remember how.
Churning it all together.
Yeah. I just remember, I'm always going to relate it to what happened on Hawthorne. And I'm curious if the city will be pulling out, or I mean, the city won't be looking at this for a while. If you haven't heard, Bike Loud's doing like a really great proactive strategy here where they've partnered with Portland State University master's students to take a look at Sandy because it's going to get repaved.
Yeah, it's like from
intersection, meaning like
up to 28th or something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, so because it's repavement, Bike Loud is saying it's a good chance to at least lay out the argument for bikeway on Sandy. But so I was saying Hawthorne, you know, they use those transit numbers to kind of as a good to go against the bike lane idea.
Right.
I think it's going to be a much different situation, just the context of Sandy being different, but we'll see. And different, they're different, there'll be different leadership at the city at that time. So,
I mean, we got bike lanes on Lombard.
Yeah. I think it's just it's awesome all around that there will be all this data and all this information and conversation out in the community before it becomes a real city project where, you know, it could be a bigger debate and potentially, you know, there could be disagreements. Yeah. I don't like to say things will be controversial.
There could be disagreements.
I don't like self-fulfilling. So I try not to use the C word, but there could be disagreements. But I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about Sandy and how controversy and debate happens. Is that a lot of it comes from emotion and people not wanting, you know. So it's like the cool thing about this is like we're 2 years before anything happening official. And so everybody will get to like let the steam off the pot. Even that event, right? Every single time we talk about Sandy, it becomes a little more, you know, a little less about like we're just kind of.
Yeah, it's just more palatable.
It's more palatable.
You know how many times you have to try a food before you like it.
Yeah. So I think it's great. The more we can talk about it. Anyway, this will be an interesting strategy. And if it ends up working in the end and we have this really nice bike lane that the city's going to fund and build, it's going to be an excellent example of Bike Cloud's quick action to address this. And hopefully, yeah, we'll see.
And I think conceptually like that, there were some studies done that show that if Sandy was bikeable, a lot more people would use it and would ride bikes because it's a diagonal, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 triangle.
Yeah.
You can either ride 7 miles or you can ride 5 miles. Like, which would you pick?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So far so good. Those students showed that there's demand, which totally makes sense.
And they're going to present their final sort of project, I think, in a couple weeks.
Oh, good. Yeah. Cool. Okay. I'll be definitely looking forward to covering that. Let's see. Thanks for the report back.
You're welcome, Creeper.
Speaking of... Oh, my gosh.
I wasn't there, but I saw you.
I know. Well, hey, I'm glad I... Anyways. Jumping to another future bike project.
Wait, can I tell you I got off the train from Seattle. I got on a bikey town. And I went to that open house and I felt sort of like this perfect little multimodal
nice
thing.
Right from Amtrak, you just zipped over?
Yeah.
Did you just take Sandy the whole way to the meeting?
No, but there was a guy salmoning on a bikey town.
Nice.
On Sandy.
Okay, who do you think is lying? I'm going to leave that
Maps
there.
Maps or...
See, you knew what I was going to talk about. Maps like or Andrew Hone from Portland Metro Chamber. I'm fascinated by this, and I'm not going to stop until I find
Maps.
Out who's lying.
I don't know. Maps, I would say.
I mean...
He's put his foot in his mouth before.
Yeah. I'm going to try to talk about this in a way that doesn't give away too many of my cards and stuff, because I don't want... I mean, not that anybody from Maps' office or the Portland Metro Chamber will hear this, but...
He just wants to make everyone happy.
I think so, yeah.
He just says things to make everyone happy.
And one thing I don't understand about that is, oh my gosh, do I have to recap the whole thing before I talk about it, folks? Or have you read about it?
No, put a link and make people read about it.
I'll put a link. There's this kerfuffle happening with Southwest 4th Project, which is literally just breaking ground. It's like a $23 million investment from Lincoln to West Burnside to put mostly just to put a protected bike lane on 4th.
Mostly just.
Yeah.
Are you saying
some transit lane, a lot of crossings?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's a repaving project.
Repaving. Oh, sorry. Forgot about the repaving. Yeah. But you know what I mean? That's the, I don't want to call it a bike project, but it is what it is. That's what most people think of it as, I think. So yeah, business group, Portland Metro Chamber wants to cancel it. What I don't understand, the one thing that I'd like to understand more, the Metro Chamber doesn't seem that strategic around this, and that's why I think something doesn't smell right.
What did the letter say that they want the money to go towards?
Yeah, but
the
just
OMSI
like
project and Broadway.
Yeah, which it's just kind of an immature demand, I think, coming from Andrew Hone in the Portland Metro Chamber. Like he knows that request in that letter was basically DOA. Not only was it would be unheard of and World War III if Maps would have done it. Right, there would have been. I would have led the protest down there. Like, there's no way he's going to switch it. But then he was, even at this late hour, showed me, like, I don't understand why Andrew Hone, of all people, he's president of the Portland Metro Chamber. His letter was 28th. It just doesn't add up. If they'd started some kind of effort to, sow some opposition and worked with group, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, okay, this is like a legit critique, but it seems so last minute.
Well, when does the project break ground?
Literally the same week his letter was dated. Like it had already basically broken ground.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a story in December saying it would break ground in April, you know, and it has. And basically like a day or two after all this came out, the city's putting out the traffic advisory saying, hey, expect work zones on 4th because we're starting this big project. Like it just seemed like such an unsavvy move from the Metro Chamber. I expect more from them in these kind of political shenanigans. So yeah. That was interesting. But yeah, now that he leaked this email to the Willamette Week saying that MAPS was not being true with his defense of, I mean, something just isn't right here.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm hoping to get to the bottom of it before I say who I think is lying. There's obviously the truth is out there.
Oh,
somebody is.
Are you an X-Files fan?
Somebody's not telling it, you know, which is really bothersome, especially given the previous, you know, Quagmire stuff that MAPS found himself in with Broadway. I just don't.
Quagmire. I love that word.
It's just weird. And I love that Andrew Hone referred to the Southwest Broadway thing in his letter. When he was trying to read the letter, he's trying to chum up MAPS and be like, hey, it was great working with you over on Broadway, buddy. Well, what about this thing on 4th? And I was just like, to me, that was another validation that there was clear, you know, work with the business community to get the Broadway thing. Anyway. Yep. I'll be looking into that. Let's see. I'm also really annoyed by this recreational trail project that the Parks is doing in Rose City Golf Course in the park over there.
What's happening?
I'm really annoyed with this. It's this... Parks is going to spend $4 million to make trails at Rose City Park and Golf Course. You know, that big parcel that split between Northeast 72nd Drive, which we were recently talking about because of the
I read the through city there project. Every week now.
Yeah, it's got a path that goes through there now, and it's awesome. It's a road that recently is part of the 70s Greenway and stuff. So, yeah, Parks is going to spend $4 million to make trails and stuff that basically circumnavigate that whole parcel. Mm-hmm. A couple miles, ultimately, if they built all the ones that they're looking at. Except the only problem is they put out a survey and launched the thing a couple weeks ago. And they were like, you know, hey, tell us what you'd like to do on this trail. Tell us your favorite activity on the trail. And like biking wasn't even an option. They had sitting down. They listed everything from jogging to like pushing a stroller to sitting and resting under a tree as an option on the survey.
Yeah.
But riding a bicycle wasn't one of them. So that was like a big red flag. It's like, why are they not?
Well, is it more like walking trails? Like they're,
well, that's just the thing.
Mulch paths or something.
That's just the thing is that park was recommended in the Off-Road Cycling Master Plan as a good site for urban mountain bike access, right? Okay. Urban bicycling access.
Which I don't understand. Like, so there's a golf course there.
Yeah.
Does the city own that golf course?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a private operator, but, and there's right of way around the golf course that's totally fine for, you know, having a trail. There's like goat trails there now, right?
Yeah. And there's a playground like on the west side.
Yeah. So it raises a bunch of eyebrows for me because I've followed the off-road cycling mountain bike stuff with parks in this town for a lot of years and other people around that issue because it seems to validate the culture at the Parks Bureau of being very anti-bike, right? And they've set, my hunch right now is that they've set this project up so that they didn't have to talk about biking at all, even though it's recommended in the Off-Road Cycling Master Plan as a site that would be good for it. Mm-hmm. And good, we're not talking about like, you know, gnarly mountain bike trails with jumps. We're talking about having a thing so that like if your kid has a push bike or whatever, it's not that bikes are not allowed, right? It's that it'd be okay to bring a bike there. Or maybe, God forbid, there's like a little trail offshoot that you could ride through or something. Yeah. That remains to be seen. But I'm talking about how Parks is framing this project in a way that is excluding bikes from the get-go, which I just find extremely
unfortunate. Is there an other line? You just click the other box?
There is other. And a lot of people will say, we want bikes, right? But I also don't like how Parks is framing it to the community as saying when Metro gave us the money, cause it's $2 million of it's coming from Metro, a Metro program.
Okay.
Parks is trying to show the community through slides in this, like their open house that, oh, it's Metro that said this was going to be a walking trail. The Metro money was for a walking trail. So in the public, when you hear that, you think that Metro's grant dictates that it's a walking trail, except that's totally not true.
So is there a deep history of bike?
Well, there's a history of parks not being great for bikes, for sure. Oh, okay. Lots of history of that. They totally screwed the community in Forest Park. Absolutely 100%. They played shenanigans with neighborhood groups and with mountain bike haters and carried their water and stuff. And yeah, there's some very bad blood around that. So anyway, there's a whole history there. So yeah, I'd really like to get to the bottom of that one as well. So I don't know. Anybody has
who are you going to talk to?
Information.
You need the.
Well, one reason I'm so fired up about this is because the parks comms person just stopped replying to my emails, which I really don't like that. Because he wouldn't answer my question I was asking him and just stopped answering my email, which to me is just like, dude, you're not doing your job. This isn't between you and me. Like, you have a job. At least tell me you can't answer it.
Yeah, and comms is the kind of thing you can't just like,
I know. Don't just ghost me, bro.
I feel yucky now.
Yeah, I don't understand. And I've been nothing but kind. But anyway, it's really problematic to me if they're just like not including bikes. And that's the other thing when they did, I've searched all the previous surveys and stuff that led up to their creation of this little trail project.
You need
project.
To call like Coin News 6 or something. One of those like investigative reporters.
Oh, okay.
Right? That'd I don't know.
Fun. Well, we'll see. They'll cover it after I'm able to get to the answer.
Well, sure.
Then we'll see. But anyway, there's huge demand for it. And I feel like Parks is suppressing that because they don't want to deal with the bike question. It's just more convenient for them to call it a walking trail and be done with it. Yeah. So that'll be a fun one to unravel.
What? I will say it's nice now that they put up that big, like, metal.
Have you gone through it?
Yeah, I ride through it every week when I ride to Spanish class. And
I still haven't seen it. There's a lot of stuff I need to go see. I've been getting buried with other things and not going over there.
You have an e-bike. It's like, you know, yeah, just 20 minutes.
Point and shoot.
Just
point and go.
Yeah. Just know, ride east on the Alameda Ridge and then.
It's true.
You'll be there.
Let's see. What else?
You got a quiz over there?
I do. I've got a quiz. Believe
it
or not.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
It is so fun. It's about the PBOP budget.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Let's talk.
I'm going to bomb this quiz.
Let's talk money and budgets. How big, Eva, is the total city budget?
The total city budget?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, what I'm doing now with quizzes from here on out, and I'm going to try to make them more fun.
I have to like start studying for these quizzes.
Okay, but I'm only going to do quiz stuff of stuff that's been covered on Bike Portland, right? So it's like the New York Times crossword or whatever. You have to have read the material. Yeah, I'm not just going to pull it out of nowhere. So total city budget that just was approved this week.
That's a good question. I don't know. $1 billion.
$8.2 billion. $8.2 billion.
That's so much money. It's just like an unfathomable number of zeros.
It is a lot. It's about the price of the Interstate Bridge Replacement Program.
$8.2 billion.
I think so, isn't it? It's climbing to that. Anyway, how much of that is the PBOT budget?
How many kayaks could we buy for the Interstate Bridge Replacement? Oh,
just have like a kayak share, yeah. Kayak town?
Yeah.
Just on the edge there.
The little paddle boats.
Yeah. If they're e-kayaks, that might be feasible.
Sorry. Question two.
Question two. How much of that $8.2 billion goes toward PBOT?
$600 million.
Close. Yeah. $586 million.
You said it earlier today.
See, I was giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Thanks for the hint. So I could get one right.
Of the $600 million, of the $580 million that PBOT has in their budget, how much of it do they consider like discretionary income that they can actually do whatever they want with? So in other words, part of their budget that isn't already dedicated to stuff legally or already part of some set aside that they're obligated to spend on, blah, blah, blah. How much?
This is a negative amount of money at this point.
That'd be funny. How would that actually work?
I have no idea. $100 million.
Yeah, just about.
Okay.
So they only have about $100 million of that every year to like actually spend on stuff that they decide. How many FTE?
So that's like the holiday party.
Yeah, right. 100 mil. Well, let's see. That goes to stuff like a lot of the program like expenses, like the
like Sunday routes, Parkways,
the
Greenways,
Sunny Parkways, all that kind of stuff. How about switching to like how many PBOT staff, how many FTE were approved in this budget? For PBOT. This one will be a surprise, I think.
700.
1,020.
Way more than that.
1,020. 1,020 FTE. Okay. Mm-hmm. People forget that PBOT is a bunch of maintenance crew.
It's a big group of people.
I should know the split. That'd be interesting.
So where do they have their holiday party then? Who can accommodate 1,000?
I don't think there is a holiday party to think about it. That's just a huge, nobody wants to deal with that.
Nobody wants to do that party planning.
That is too big.
That's like 20 Portland Spirits.
I could just see, like all the maintenance people on one side and all the planning people on the other side, just looking at each other awkwardly at the dance. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Talk about a clash of cultures. But yeah, 1,020 PBOT employees. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I saw something too. The amount of the value of assets. Oh shoot. I don't have this written down. So I'm going to guess the amount of assets that PBOT actually manages is like 19 billion or something with all the stuff they own. So you can see why they have 1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. Okay, last one, and then we'll have to move on, unfortunately, because I know everybody is just really into knowing about PBOT's budget. The fixing our streets thing, that's up for a vote, like
Tuesday. 10.5 million.
Couple more days here. This is the third time we're voting on it. How much money would it bring in if it passes? Do you remember that?
It was 10.5 million, or it was way more than that?
Way more.
It's like 150 million.
No, half of that.
600 million, no.
No, you must stop. 70.5 million.
Yes.
Over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a four-year thing, 70 mil, split evenly between, I don't know, safety, paving, and something else, active transportation projects and whatnot.
I should know this. I just wrote in the Bike Loud newsletter.
Yeah?
Make sure to vote yes on fixing our streets.
Do you think it's going to pass?
I sure hope so. I don't know. I mean, people are tightening their belts. I wonder if the zoo measure will pass or...
It's going to be really interesting how those come down. I think everybody's assuming that the fixing our streets is just a foregone conclusion. And I'm fascinated by if it's a squeaker or if it doesn't pass. I mean, thankfully, there's no real opposition organized. None of the measures has organized opposition.
Yeah, but are they really promoting it?
They're not really promoting it a lot either. That's true. I mean, they are. Yeah, they have their ways. They have to be careful because obviously, you know, there's a lot of people like carrying the message, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the zoo one, they're getting, anyway, so, but there's not organized opposition, but I think of all the ones that are out there, PBOT is the easiest kind of like to hate in terms of like people that just aren't liking government right now and just want to bash everything that's establishment.
And people who are like, is PBOT even fixing our streets?
Well, yeah, there's that. And then like, you know, well, Vision Zero's failing. The streets are failing. Why the heck would I give these people money? You know, kind of thing. So I think, you know.
Oh, it's like Portland in the 80s.
It'll be interesting. You weren't even alive in the 80s.
Oh, come on.
Talking about. What else, Eva? I can just, you know, I got all kinds of stuff here.
Do you have like 30 different questions about the PBOT budget?
No, I don't actually. That does it for our PBOT.
That's it.
Budget quiz.
Game over.
Yeah, game over.
So I rode Bikey Town the other day and I was thinking like, it feels kind of like a lot of the bikes, like there aren't enough where I want them to be. So I was at Union Station and I had to walk 10 minutes to find a bike that had a battery.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
And I was like, isn't this exactly where we want the bikes to be? We want the people that come in on the train to have access to an alternative form of transportation and not have to walk through 6 blocks of homeless camps to get to one.
Yeah, totally agree.
So that was like a little, little sad.
That actually like ties into all the stuff we've been talking about, PBOT budget and PSEF, because first of all, it's really annoying that we don't spend more public money on freaking Bike Town system since it's public transit. We subsidize every other form of public transit. We should be investing more in Bike Town 100%. It's proven itself. But also, I think there's a good chance once it's really hard to keep up with the PSEF stuff because there's so many different parts of it and they have these different asks and there's different grant programs and it's really hard to figure out a lot of times. But there are definitely people who, I'm just going to assume this has happened because I feel like it's such an obvious idea and I've been hearing about it from sources and stuff, but PSEF is a potential really good place to get some money for Bike Town. I think even PBOT might be applying for grants. They should be. I hopefully, PBOT, if you haven't done that, please do it. PCF people are basically asking PBOT to please put in an application that says we would like 10 million bucks or whatever it is to put, you know, get 5,000 more bikes out on the street. It would check every single box of PCF, put them east of 80s, do whatever you need to do. But it would be, yeah, it's so ridiculous that we have this bike share system that's been successful and, you know, works to some degree, but it's starved, right? It really needs help.
Yeah, like if you don't have enough bikes, and the thing is, if you're two people, for example, and there aren't two bikes together, it's like, it becomes really awkward.
Yeah. I was heartened the other day. I always look to New York City because it's just the greatest American city for a lot of reasons, including their bike and transit and transportation advocacy people. Transportation Alternatives is this amazing, amazing group. And if you just go on their website, you can see like the future of Portland. They're always like doing the most interesting, I think, innovative approaches to advocacy. And even as a city, they're doing, you know, they're often leading the way with stuff like they're going to be implementing a congestion pricing system. Like that's just bonkers for an American city. After all these years, they're finally going to do it, right? They were like first with the big bike share program. Anyway, I just happened to be flipping through their page or something, and they actually have a campaign right now that's saying we should publicly fund bike share, because even New York City, which has, I forget, 50,000 bike share bikes, I don't know, an obscene amount, and it's this amazing system. They're even experiencing some of what you've experienced. Like,
but they have huge numbers of people that live there.
And it's wildly popular.
Tourists, yeah.
It's like victim of its own success, right? How frustrating is that we have this great alternative?
Don't we want to, you know, encourage active transportation?
Yeah. Well, at the same time, public transit, as most people think of it, like traditionally buses or whatever, that's problematic for another reason. Like in most cities, there's not enough demand.
Yeah.
So the haters are like, look, no one even rides.
Yeah.
Where on Bike Town, it's frustrating because you're like, actually, it has more demand. And we're also not funding that. So,
but it's not convenient or it's too expensive or, yeah.
So, yeah, that would be cool. Get that funded. Bike Town everywhere. I'm surprised no one's taken that up, like Street Trust or Bike. I mean, it's just such an obvious thing to get behind, I think. You know? Anyway, huge Bike Town fan.
Same. I had a friend who was visiting from out of town. She used to live here. She lives in rural nowhere Pennsylvania now, and she came back and I was like, oh, you could just take Bikey Town, because she didn't have a car. And she was like, oh, I don't want to look like a tourist. I was like, oh, okay, because I feel like it's actually a lot of people that live here that ride them.
Yeah,
but I don't know statistically what's true.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fun deeper dive to like really look into who's taking it. My hunch is just like yours. I was just thinking about that. Whenever I hear like that clank clank and that little noise of the E motor that makes me turn my head if I'm walking or whatever, or even riding, so many times it's somebody on a Bikey Town and they're just like motoring through on their way to something. It's rare that it'll just be like, it's rarely just like a pleasure ride. Obviously they're big clunky bikes. People don't think of them to go get some fresh air.
Right.
And maybe I'm not downtown, so I don't see them on that. But my hunch is that there are a lot of super utilitarian shift workers, you know, people who, and that's one of my fundamental arguments for it, is that the powerful thing about Bike Town is it applies to the type of bike users that us in the bike culture community, whatever, have been terrible at connecting to, which are shift workers, people with lower incomes, black people, brown people, you know, people that don't look like you and I. And because they'll ride Bike Town because it's not a bike, you know, to them, it's a system owned by Nike and it's like a cool thing. Yeah. Right. It's not, they're not cyclists when they're on those. They're just people. It just so happens that, you know, bikes are this amazing way to get around. Everybody agrees, but not a lot of people want to be associated with cycling. Yeah. And Bike Town gives them that option to like not be a cyclist, but still be on a bike. And they're tremendously useful. But yeah.
And fun.
I don't know what else on here I had. There's this whole dust up about the St. John's Bridge, which I thought was fun.
What do you mean?
I don't know if people really know the history. See, we're 40 minutes in. Do I have a chance to talk about the history of the St. John's Bridge?
Well, no, back in 19...
Maybe we could save that for next week. Yeah, or save it for a fun video.
Make a fun video.
It's a
beautiful bridge.
It is nice. I did some observationing of it this week. I got out there with my long lens and photographed it.
I glimpsed that.
Yeah. It was fun. And it spurred tons of comments on Instagram. I didn't put it on the website, but so I've been stewing about what to do about that and whether I should try to roust up some St. John's Bridge controversy again.
Because you just like to stir the pot a little.
Yeah, it's definitely stirring the pot, but a good pot. So everybody go look at the St. John's Bridge photos on the Bike Portland Instagram.
What percentage of people were like, I just take the lane?
I know. There were those. Yeah. And that was annoying, actually, because people that do that are frustrating me because it's like, we're not talking about you right now. Like, get out of your little bubble. But one of the coolest things that came from that is somebody actually shared.
That's not the type of person that sits on their hands and
no
doesn't say stuff.
Right. Okay. I'm not going to get into it. This episode has just been way too full and fun. So we'll save that for later.
Okay.
But know your St. John's Bridge history.
Oh, boy. I feel like I need to do some studying.
Yeah, there's some. Just look at the St. John's Bridge archive tag on Bike Portland would be a good start. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first things when I was like super green, April 2005. I was just thrust into the community and I started writing about St. John's Bridge and how mad I was that there wasn't a bike lane on it because the decision that left it as four general lanes like it is today was made right in April 2005. Oh. Literally the same month I started Bike Portland. So yeah, I wasn't here for the buildup of it. It's like, you know, and obviously I was just some silly little neophyte, didn't know anything. So anyway, go to your St. John's Bridge history and what else? Oh, I made a note that I want to mention what's coming up at Bike Happy Hour this week.
Ooh.
Make sure you look at the weekend event guide. This is just that time of year. It gets really cool. There's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Sunday Parkways.
Yep. Sunday Parkway Sunday for sure. Check that out. Bike Happy Hour next week. Two fun things are happening. That's Wednesday, May 22nd. We have a leading candidate for District 3, which is the Southeast District, Tiffany Koyama Lane, who is a teacher. And I think she has some pretty strong endorsements, and she's definitely up there in terms of donors and stuff. So come and meet Tiffany Koyama Lane. And also, it's going to be bike t-shirt night.
Bike t-shirt night, like
yes.
Wear one or trade?
However you want to interpret it. Okay. I mostly like wear one and come share the funny story about it, you know, or trade them. Take it off your back and just swap. You know, like they do on the soccer matches or basketball games, like, you know, jersey swaps. You could do that if people want. I'll try to get some free shirts there.
Don't get too sweaty first.
Yeah, right. I'll try to have some free shirts on hand. So we did it last year. Believe it or not, I was looking at the photos. It was last year, 1 year ago. We had so much fun at bike t-shirt night. So wear your bike t-shirts and be ready to tell me about it when I stick my camera in front of your face.
Okay.
Try to take a video.
I think I have a Bike Loud board meeting right after that. Oh, we'll make it work.
I'm sure they wouldn't
make it work.
Yeah. And you can't wear a Bike Loud shirt, Eva. Okay. It's got to be something more
interesting. I have I have a Chris King t-shirt that I found at the bins.
Oh, cool.
A long time ago. I'll wear that one.
That's fun. That's fun. Okay.
If it's not too holy.
Yeah. Well, I have a nice weekend.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming to the shed and see you next time.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please make sure to subscribe and leave a comment and tell your friends about it and make sure you don't miss any future episodes. Really appreciate all of your support. If you are not a paid subscriber of Bike Portland yet, please become one today at bikeportland.org/support and find out how you can be a part of what we're doing here and pay a little bit in to keep it thriving and surviving. I also want to thank Brock Dittus of Sprocket Podcast fame for our wonderful new theme music. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, we'll see you in the streets.